Three, two, one. Oh, you no, because it really fucks me up. With it. Three, two, one.
Competitive.
No, because I've got to match the audio and the video later. So when he does it half a second later, it fucks up. Because it might be half a second later when we're talking, so you have like a little bit of desync.
Oh, but I thought that's what that's for. No.
So
your
that's
keyboard.
The video, that's the
audio.
And then I put the two files together over top of it. Well, four files. There's three audio files, one video file.
Your life must be so stressful. I can't even cope.
Well, once it's matched, it's all the way through.
Okay.
He wanted to do it. I never asked him.
That's what I have to do when I do my Instagram videos.
Oh, the do
wanted
this.
Wanted to do this.
I never
thought you would take it, if I was honest. Like, when I came up with the idea, and then 6 months later you hit me back, I was like, oh, shit.
How did you meet?
If you listen to episode 148. No, I'm kidding.
I was going to say, I've listened to quite a lot of them, so.
I would hope you listened to all of them.
How did we meet? We met through... I took your class.
We met through the love of dance.
Through Tinder.
Sorry,
Grindr. yeah, not podcast. I took your class in Penzance.
Yeah, where I'm going tonight.
Mm. Actually, you got to drive there tonight, haven't you?
Yeah, drive all the way to Penzance to teach for Amplify.
Fun.
For the big dance company. Yeah, so we met dancing. He was shit.
He wasn't so bad.
He wasn't shit. He was good, but I saw like the potential.
Yeah.
I'd only been like, dancing 6 months
okay.
when I first met.
And I was like, oh, he's quite good. Like, he wasn't shit. But like, I was like, oh, he's quite good. And then when he told me he's only been dancing 6 months, I was like,
you're like,
what?
Yo.
No, I taught We Could Fly.
Mm.
Boom.
That was the first one.
Boom.
Do you remember when you filmed me?
And
then Sam Sparrow actually replied on Twitter.
He retweeted it. Sam
Sparrow.
Really? In my first year at college.
So was that your first year?
Yeah.
You and Kerry,
and the rest is history.
And the rest is history.
After I learned that combo, I went to Greece for a week. And I went inside, we were rented our house, and I was in the basement every day for like a week practicing that combo until I got it down.
That's so cute.
Like, he did it for like 2 hours every day because I didn't have it.
Do you love me?
No, that was the first combo I took, and I went, oh, so this is how you dance.
Oh, that's really cute. You should put that on a keyring.
This is so nice, guys.
We haven't even started at this episode. Maybe
no, this is, we're using this.
We're using
this.
We're in.
Okay. Hi.
And for those who don't know, this is my beautiful friend Taz, my little sis. She's joining us today. Taz, I know. Why don't you tell everyone about you?
Oh, that's the hardest question.
Yeah, I know, it sucks. So I'll do it.
Yeah,
question.
So tell me about yourself.
You do it
for me.
20.
20.
Taz is 20.
Yeah.
Shit.
She looks 12, innit? Taz is 20.
Well, I thought you behaved like 24, 40. 25. No, in a good way. Like, I'm not saying you look at
me. She behaves like she's 31.
Right?
She behaves like she's 31. She looks like she's 12, but she's actually 20.
Yeah, so a nice little...
A good average.
Average out.
Yeah, so if you average out, you might hit 26.
Wow. I'm 20, guys, by the way.
So Taz is 20. She's on her way to making her dreams come true. She is the most hardworking person I know, in fairness. In pretty much all genres, she works harder than me and probably as hard as Jake. She inspires me very much. She graduated Wilkes Academy 2020. And that's where I met her.
Yeah.
I was her teacher.
Actually, lies. UDO competition.
No, I met you at UDO, but I didn't know who you were.
You didn't.
I took a shine into Taz straight away teaching her because I was like, she can actually groove. Like, she's not just this ballet bod. And then I'd see her do like a lyrical class and I was like, yo, she can do that too. This is crazy. And she was just always like the happy person in the room. Like, she was always working hard, always a smile on her face. Like, when everyone else was struggling and thinking like, fuck you, Ginger, I hate you, this is too hard, she'd be busting it out. And there was just like, you know, you gravitate to someone who has like that like desire. Mm. Or like when I watched her dance, I always used to think like, you love dancing. Do you know what I mean? Like, and to me, that's
I do love
dancing. I do. I'm a dance nerd. I'm like, literally such a nerd.
You are an absolute dance nerd. Like, and watching
it.
You like, and teaching you, seeing how much you love dance made me like gravitate to you so much. And then obviously we started working at the same company in Oxford Step 2. And that's kind of where we really got it. Got connected.
Yeah, it's kind of mad that
when you're
only...
a college student, not really allowed.
Yeah.
And since you kind of graduated and they're the little sis.
Yeah.
So I thought, I need to have Taz on the podcast to
now
inspire
you're stuck
people.
With me.
And I'm stuck, you know, I can't get rid of you. because you are one of the most hardworking people I know, and we spoke about you on an episode before.
Yeah, and it made me cry, guys. By the way, I cried. Yeah.
What did we say?
He was just really nice about me.
I think we had Nina.
Okay.
We were talking about people that work hard because Nina's one of the most hardworking people I know as well.
Yeah.
She's a grafter.
Legend.
She is, and so is Miraza Mataz, and yeah. So I just want to highlight you and you to inspire people. That's what I call her, Raza Mataz.
Yeah, that's gotcha. My nickname.
I don't know why. Just
yeah, I don't know.
Works. I just go Raza Mataz.
Yeah.
And it makes sense. So yeah, Taz is here. Woo! We love you!
Thanks for having me. I'm excited.
So yeah, I want to know what your experience has been like. I mean, I know, kind of, to a degree.
Yeah.
What your experience has been like since graduating college.
Yeah, so I think that the pandemic, lots of people in my year group especially, understandably, were quite stressed and negative about the situation that we graduated in a pandemic on Zoom. We literally like ended the Zoom call and then we'd done our 3 years. It was kind of sad.
It's actually crazy.
Really sad.
Like I had a show, a party, I got drunk.
Yeah, none of that. No grad. That's all right because just the way life moves. But I actually am really grateful for it because I feel like I know everything happens for a reason is so cheesy, but like that pushed me to like start networking early and I was doing loads of training in London and like that's helped me so much. Whereas I feel like maybe if I would have graduated normally and just gone into like a job, like, do you know what I mean? Like a small job that I might not have been able to make the connections that I have now. But I think it was super hard for everyone. Even now, like people are still feeling the effects of it in colleges now. Like, if you think the third year's now, we're in first year when the pandemic started. Like, that's hard. Like, they've had three.
So we're back. You were saying that you think it's harder for the first years, or it's difficult for the people who were first year in the pandemic because now they're third years.
Yeah, now they're third years. Like, if you think about it, I know that they've done. Oh, sorry. Hello. There we go. They have had 3 years, but it's been so broken up. They've been doing Zoom at home and not that, like, I think you posted something that Philip Joel put on his story yesterday about making the most, and that is so true. I know everyone says it and they're like, and when you're in third year, you're kind of like, I'm ready to go out. But you do take for granted, you're in a studio 8 till 6 every day.
Every day.
Every day, and you're training with like amazing teachers, obviously different colleges, but like, and then
I'm amazing.
You are amazing. So places that have Kane teaching, you're lucky. But yeah, so I think like advice, not that I'm one to give advice really, but
that's why you're here. Like you're definitely one to give advice. Like,
I think the thing to do is to not go to the classes that you like and the classes and the teachers that you know, but also make a point of going to the classes that you didn't get at college and the classes that you're not so good at that when you're in there, you might feel like, oh my God, I look so stupid. Mm. But then the more you go to those classes, then you're making connections anyway because you're going to people that don't know you and then they start to know your name and stuff like that. And basically just keep on working.
Yeah.
Because it's so
in
easy.
Regards to Philip Joel's post, I shared it because it was actually brilliant. It was first years, you are a term and a half away from being called second years. Second years, you're officially halfway through your entire course. Third years, you are a term and a half max to being a graduate. Appreciate studio time. Thank when corrected in class and enjoy student discount.
Enjoy student discount, that is a massive thing because I miss that so much.
I would love student discount.
Yeah.
But I do think that's actually like so true. Like if you look at, say you're a second year and you go, I'm halfway from where I've started.
Crazy.
How much have I progressed? I only have that same amount of time to double it. If you measure it, say you come in on a zero and out of like you're trying to get to 10 by the time you leave. I love marking things on a 1 to 10, right? And by the time you're in second year, you feel like you're a 3.
You need to
pull
working.
The fuck up.
Mm. Another phone call.
It's not Georgia. Okay. So I'm not answering.
That's all right.
If you're not a third year, if you're a 3, like you need to pull the fuck up.
Mm-hmm.
Like you need to work harder because essentially you're halfway and you've put in half the effort that maybe you should have been to get where you're at.
Yeah, and I think as well that like you say you've got 3 years at college, but you don't. You've got from September to July 3 times.
Yeah.
You don't have
including like 66% or something, isn't it?
Yeah, because, including Easter breaks.
Yeah,
and, like,
and Christmas.
And days
colleges
off.
Get long for Christmas, and let's be honest, you wanna enjoy your Christmas day. Like no one's training every single day 8 till 6 in your Christmas holidays.
No.
I mean, I go to the studio, but Like, that is a long break.
Well, the
to
typical
have.
Dancer doesn't go home at Christmas and go, I'm going to take more ballet classes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no one wants to get in that pink pink tights and Leo in their Christmas holidays, let alone at college. But what's yeah.
38 out of 52 is a school year, I think.
What, weeks?
Yeah.
That took me long then.
You should see my Christmas outfit. Mine's a pink leotard. That used to be actually be my job. I was jokes. No leotard, unitard, manitard. Stripper.
Retard. Remind me.
Wow.
Cancelled.
Edit that out.
I said it quite enough.
You need to bleep that. You need to bleep. Anywho, he said ginger idiot. And then another valid point is that you were saying, like, you know, you graduated on Zoom.
Mm-hmm.
And you kind of feel like if you hadn't graduated on Zoom, you wouldn't have probably put in the work that you did after to take other stuff out.
Yeah, I think it's really hard to know. I mean, you know me. Anyway, I'm just naturally a hard worker. Like, that's the way, like, my dad's a hard worker. Like, I've just been raised like that. So I think I still would have worked hard, but it almost felt like starting a race. Like, we were just, like, a step back. So, yeah. Like, I was like, I need to get to the start line. So I need to just work that extra bit harder to make those connections.
Yeah. But the one thing that you did really, really smart during that time is, like, not only did you attend all of your Zoom lessons that you had to do.
Every single one, guys. Every single one.
Like, you didn't miss one, did you? Mm-hmm. Like, how many people can say that? Like, you attended, like, the only person that can say that is me, because I've probably taught more Zoom lessons than anyone in the world.
Yeah.
I taught fitness. I taught dance to adults, kids, cats, dogs.
That like, was, like, so long ago as well.
All kinds of crap. But, like, actually, what you did really intelligent is that in that time is you utilized the fact that everyone was teaching on Zoom and you started doing other people's Zoom programs. Whereas most people were like, I don't want to do any more Zoom than I'm already doing. Like, you did my training program, which you already taught you anyway.
Yeah.
But you met new people through that.
Yeah.
You started doing other online programs. You did an online fitness one. You did so many different online programs where everyone was online. You utilized that time and you were like, actually, now I can reach new people without having to go to their studio.
Yeah, I think, and also, like, it was so easy to be like, oh, Zoom classes. Yeah, they were gross. Like, you're dancing in your living room, but at the same time, I know for a fact that I improved so much.
You did, like, massively.
Just in my living room, which is kind of crazy to think that I was dancing and got my mum to move my dining table out, turned it into, now it's like basically a home studio.
You improved more in that year in your living room than most people do in 3 years in a building. Like, genuinely. Like, that's how much effort and work you put in. And that's why, like, it shows now.
Mm.
And what's dope is, like, you already had that work ethic, but it's not died. Like, you graduated 2 years ago, almost 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Like, what's your training like? Like, talk me through a week of Taz's training. I think people will go, like, Taz. I work hard or, like, I train. But, like, tell us yours. Like, whether not even just dance, but things towards it, like if it's gym yoga, all these things, they all contribute towards your goals.
Yeah.
So, what is the week like?
A week in my life
of training.
Ooh, of training.
Let's go vocals.
I'm not just a dancer, guys. No, I'm joking. So I work for 7 hours in a muggle job on a Monday. Then I teach for 3 hours on that evening.
What's your muggle job?
My muggle job is packing boxes for kids' schools science.
Do you hate it?
I love my boss if you're watching this, but I don't love the job. No. I do love my boss, but I don't love the job.
But you're not going to love the job because it's not what you've trained to do. Like, I teach kids. I don't love teaching you. Like, not all of them. I like teaching some, but I don't love teaching all of them, but it's also part of the job.
Yeah, that basically covers my training because I don't get paid loads from that job, but it's a family friend that owns the business, so that pays for my training. Tuesdays, I teach at a primary school for a couple of hours, and then I hit the gym, and then I go and see you on a Tuesday evening.
You do.
Highlight. And then Wednesday, I work again 7 hours, and then I usually hit the gym, go to the studio, dance at home, whatever I feel like. Thursday, it's my favourite day of the week. I go to London. So I usually try and do Christabel's class, 1 o'clock at base, Latin jazz, I very much recommend it.
Yes, plug.
Plug. And then I'll do, like, last week we took class together, didn't we?
Yes, we did.
We did Cisco. And then I usually do John and Marco's, or I also train with House of Jazz. So depending.
Is that on
I
the kind Thursday
of,
as well?
Yeah, so I alternate. So I'm training hip hop 1 week and jazz the other week.
So is House of Jazz, sorry, distraction. Sorry. Is House of Jazz a program or is it just a weekly class?
No, it's like a community. Obviously, it was Christy that you had on there. It's like they do weekly masterclasses, which you get in your... So you basically pay like a subscription to be... So you pay...
Like a gym
membership. Kane just went, business idea.
So it's like, so it's like a gym membership, essentially.
Yeah, and then like you can go... you want to take
classes that are already involved.
And then it's in, then it's free. So then a two-hour masterclass at Dance Attic a week. It's really good. And that also, that's obviously dropping in and out. And they also, which I love, because they have international members, they record all the stuff on Zoom. So you can join on Zoom. So if I can't make it to London, I just do the class that I would have done on Zoom. So they just set the camera up and there's like Canadian, lots of Canadian dancers that do it. And then they also record it so that if I can't make it, I've gone to John and Marco's, I then do it in the week on that Friday, Tuesday or Friday.
So clever. On behalf of you and them.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm then, so I usually then the Friday, so that's my Thursday, then the Friday I'll usually either catch up on a House of Jazz on the Friday and go to the gym, or I'll just try and have, because that's my only day off, to be honest, so I'll just like go to the gym, but then I'll just sort my life out, boring admin stuff.
Yeah, but that's all part of being a working dancer. Yeah, that's exactly. All professional stuff.
I thought just the sound wasn't working.
Be a little bit closer.
Oh, sorry. I'm back. And then Saturdays I teach as well, and then Sundays every other week I do Company Jinx, and every week I do Runway House. So every other Sunday I train for 8 hours, and then every Sunday I train for 4.
Wowzers.
That's a lot of training.
So what?
But I love it. But I'm not, that made it sound like No, I literally love it.
For sure. But like, you got to remember that commute as well. Like, you commute to London on Sunday to do 8 hours. Like, And it's not like...
Trains are expensive, guys.
Trains are so expensive.
You're going that way anyway. Can't you just give me a lift? You know what I mean? But it's like £22. It usually cost me like £22 to do the tube and the train. So think if I'm doing that like 3 times a week sometimes.
Yeah.
Thank you, Muggle Job, that I've just complained about. Give me the money.
No, you didn't complain.
But you know what I mean? Like that. That's what makes it all worth it, because then I do that job, because lots of people are in the mindset of like, you have to clear your, like, to be a dancer you have to have all your time free, but I don't think that's true. I think for me it's opened more doors to block out 2 days a week to like until 4 o'clock to earn the money so I can then go train. Whereas I wouldn't be able to afford it if I was just not working and trying to
being
keep
available
free.
But not being
exactly.
What's the point in being really available and not being able to do anything with that time because you've got no money to go and train?
Being available and then haven't been training and then find it really hard,
fill all the time up anyway.
But that's a week in the life of me.
What does it feel like doing like an 8 hour day after not doing it at college for like... Like, think when you're at college, you did 8 hours a day all the time, but it wasn't all dance. Like, you had singing and acting. Mm-hmm. But, like, that 1 week where it's 8 hours and it's purely dance, like, how do you find your, like, your learning? Because I know for me, like, 8 hours, I can't learn.
Scramble
I can't
brain.
Focus that long. Mm-hmm. Like, I'll probably get 3-4 hours in and then I'm just a robot copying.
Yeah, and I think the first 4 hours that I do are with Ricky, and because I've learned a lot from Ricky... Like, he taught me at college, but more I've been training with him since I've left college. Now it sits nicer in my body. So, but I feel like if I would have just gone into doing 8 hours and not have learnt from him and then do at Runway, because we don't know who our teachers are each week at Runway. So I have, that also helps, because I'm not like, oh my God, I have to be so awake for this class or my brain has to be working. I never know who's until the teacher walks in the door. Mm. So that actually helps a bit, rather than being like, I know I've got this and my brain has to be switched on. If that makes sense. So like, it's actually easier for me because I don't know my teachers. It's hard, I'm tired. And when I get home and my mum's got a roast dinner on the table at 9 o'clock at night, I'm like, yes, this is what Mumsy. Yes, Mumsy. But yeah, it's hard, but I love it. So it's not
too bad. Yeah, of course. It's not like...
I'm not like, oh, for God's... It's not like going to school when you're like... Ugh.
You're exhausted.
Yeah.
Okay, so then, you know, you said 8 hours, it's exhausting and you love it.
Yeah.
maybe you're the wrong person to ask because you worked really hard in college, but do you feel like you appreciate the classes you get to take more now than you did when you were at college and you did it every day? Because I always say, like, the more you do something, the more you take it for granted, right? Mm-hmm. So like when people are at college and they're like, oh, I can't be bothered going and doing this class, and normally that's their favorite class is because they're taking it for granted because they always have it.
Yeah.
Whereas you've gone from having dance class every single day, and like, although you obviously paid for it, like, you didn't have to think about that when you were there. You were just like, I just turn up and I do the lessons that are provided. Now you have to source your own travel, your own and all, finances. Yeah. You have to, you literally go and work and Monday, you see Tuesday the money, to pay for that.
You see the money going out of your account, which is like, with college, obviously my mum and dad helped me a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
But you don't see it broken down. Whereas when you're paying £10 for a class, £20 to travel, and you're like, oh my God, this day just cost me £60. You're like, there's no way I'm standing at the back and coasting. I've just spent £60 of my money. Mm. Like, I'm gonna stand at the front and I'm gonna make my money's worth. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, that's my
no, and it's a great way to view it, because I do think you appreciate stuff more when you actually pay for it.
100%.
Like, I don't agree with scholarships.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think when people get scholarships, I think if they can't afford to pay financially, they should have to pay in another way.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So like, instead of it being like, you just get this for free, then that means to me you're taking it for, like, majority of people then take it for granted. Like, I think it should be like, oh, you can have it for free, but you have to help out every Saturday with the kids club.
Teaching kids.
Or like, or like, you have there's a trade off, as opposed to a financial payment. Because like, we say this quite a lot, like, as a business outside of here, like, not everything has to be financial trade. Mm. Like, some things are trade for trade. Like, we trade business. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, and we trade business with other businesses. We traded business for that picture. Like, you know, like, and like, transaction for transaction doesn't always have to be financial. Like, I think like, colleges should do that as well. Like, I've thought about doing that for the program.
That's so
like,
cool.
For someone that can't afford it, I tried to think, okay, if I wanted someone to do it, what can they offer me?
Mm. Yeah, that, like, is such a good idea. I love that.
And we're back.
And we're back.
Sorry, guys. We're having some issues today. I am.
That's all
nobody
right.
Nobody else. Just me. So, yeah.
Not bad issues, though.
Not bad issues. Nice issues. Life-changing issues. Fun things. Fun times. Yay.
Yay.
So, you're training. So, you train a lot, and you obviously, like, you appreciate it more now because you see, the transaction.
Yeah.
Like, because you actually have to go to work to earn
It's not as nice. I say it's not as nice. It is, because then you actually realise that, like, me doing the stuff that I don't want to do as much then allows me to do the stuff that I really want to do. So it's actually kind of nice, yeah.
It's kind of like the first step of having sacrifice of your journey into achieving what you love. Because we speak about this a lot on the podcast, as you know, as well.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I used to sacrifice lots of social events or sacrifice time with family and stuff like that to go and do jobs and to achieve what I want.
Mm.
And this is like your first kind of sacrifice, is you have to go and do that thing that you hate.
Yeah.
To be able to do the thing you love.
Yeah.
Right. And I think it's a huge learning tool. I always say that people that, like, kind of like the scholarship thing, people that, like, just get given everything from the jump and don't really have to sacrifice much.
Yeah. They don't learn that.
Ride.
Yeah.
They don't have the same gratitude when
something
when something big happens, because it's like they're kind of used to just getting it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, it's like a rich kid when, like, a rich kid gets his, like, daddy buys him, like, a banging car, like, and he's like, oh, that's nice, I want a better one.
I want
there's no appreciation for it.
Like, I'm not saying that everyone is like that, but, like, it's the stereotypical thing. And then you get, like, the skint person who's just happy to have a new bike. Like,
yeah. No, that is like, that is the way the world works, to be honest. And that's how it, like, translates over to dancing. It is like that. That when you don't get given everything and you work hard for it, it's like, yes, go me.
Yeah.
Not.
What is it that keeps you driven?
I think seeing little improvements all the time. It's not always about the big goals. I mean, recently I've just had a nice little accomplishment in my life, which is fun. But
don't leave it there. Let's go. Kind of say that.
So I've
A millionaire.
I just won the lottery. No. So I've just signed with my dream agent, which is pretty cool.
It's a huge
mic drop.
And
congratulations.
Like the whole
big congratulations.
It's a huge, and the great thing about that is it's not just signed with an agent, it's signed with an agent that you really want to
Like, I've been working
about
hard
so much.
Like, Kane must be so, I literally send him voice notes all the time, literally, like, at 9 o'clock at night. I'm like, Kane, what do I do? Like, this is what I want to do, and he helps, like, you are like, massive part
this,
of yeah.
Say this to them. Yeah. Do this.
He really like.
But like, it's a huge thing because like, you know, I know that feeling. Like when I was going to LA and MSA wanted to sign me, and then I found out Block wanted to sign me. I had the choice. I was like, I can go with a really good one, or I can go with my
dream. That's the same. Yeah. Like that's not the same that for me.
Like I would have been very happy with MSA. In fact, I would have been over the moon. But then, getting the dream one was like the equivalent of getting like a Porsche and then like a Porsche GTS. Like both are fantastic, but if I could get a GTS, like the same deal.
Car talk. Actually, I'm quite good with cars.
Oh yeah.
Maybe not Porsche, but I'm quite good for
Toyotas. I did pull up earlier, and you pulled up earlier, and you were like, "Oh my god, you've got the newer version of mine."
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's your recognition of cars.
Don't be rude, mate.
Good job. no, but congrats. Like it is a huge achievement.
Thank you.
And I guess, I know you did briefly have an agent before it, but you know, it's not always the right fit.
Yeah.
And I we won't go into too much depth about it.
Yeah, of course. Because
it's like, it's personal to you and their relationship with them. But like, you actually were really brave to be able to go, actually, I need to step away from something which is
not working. Yeah.
Be good. You know what I mean?
That like, was really scary for me. Like how many times we were on FaceTime for ages and I was like, what do I do? What do I do? And it wasn't anything particularly with the person that was the agent, it just wasn't the right fit for me, and we weren't going in the right direction, like, which is fine.
It's a relationship.
Yeah, exactly.
Like you didn't have the same vision. Do you know what I mean?
That's what. That's. Do you know what I mean?
Do you know what I mean? You didn't have.
And that's what we were saying. Yeah, that was the main thing. We just didn't have the same vision, which is totally cool. And then I don't think people talk about that enough. That like, people always talk about that you sign with an agent in college and then you stay with your agent until the end of time. I don't think people realistically talk about the fact that like sometimes it just doesn't work and that's fine and they work for someone else. Like
just like boyfriends and girlfriends.
Yeah.
Like it's just a relationship.
Exactly.
Do you know what I mean? But I think people also get twisted that like once you get an agent, miracles start to happen.
Yeah. I'm just on every single job. Thanks so much. Yeah. But it's a two-way thing.
Do you know what I mean? Like that's not how it works. Yeah. You have to like find out what works for you. But to do such a brave move, like, you know, you had an agent at 20 years old, you'd been with them a year, and you were like, you could already sense that this wasn't working, and to be bold and brave enough to go, do you know what, I'm going to gamble on myself and not have an agent and go
free market
for
it was
a few
scary.
Months and hope something pays off.
Can we dive into that? Like, what part of the relationship didn't work and what was the deciding factor for you to make that jump? Just because there might be other people who might be feeling the same
Sorry.
Way.
I just think that, like I said, our visions weren't going in the same way. So, like, we talk about how I'm a hard worker. Like, I always work back. And Christy taught me this at House of Jazz. Thanks so much, Christy. Work from 10 years. I work what I want to do in 10 years. And then I work what I want to do in 5 years. And then I work what I want to do in 1 to 3 years. Because if you work from your 10 years, then you can like work back to where you are now. Whereas if you go, I want to do this now, you get to 10 years and you're like, I've written down everything that I want to do, but that's actually not realistic. And that plan, the agent just wasn't in that plan. And that's cool. That was kind of...
What was their quote plan then?
I don't think we really had... I think that was the thing. We didn't really have much of a plan because we didn't gel together that much, which was fine. And I know people that are with that agent that get on with them so well and they've booked big jobs, so like so it's really nothing to do with, it wasn't anything to do with the particular agent, it was just our relationship working together.
And I think that's the misconception, is a lot of people go, oh, you should be with this agent, they're the best agent. It's not about that.
It's best agent for
it's
you,
it's the best agent for you, because like to me Jordan Eclipse is the best trainer to dance in, but to Taz it's not.
No, they are. They're just the best trainers to dance.
Kicks of the day.
Oh, yeah, Jordan's baby.
The Jordan ones.
Kane is the OG plug. Yeah. He plugged these trainers for me.
And his.
And Jake's.
Mine. And mine.
And yours. Ovs. Sorry,
I
just...
You need shoes, hit me up.
So reading back then, so what prompted you to make that jump? And did you have a safety net whilst doing it?
No, zero safety net. Very scary. Like, I was, apart from my own belief in myself, that was, I call that a safety net because I believe, like...
Can we clap that? Say that. Can we say that again?
Belief in myself with a safety net, guys. Like, it was so scary to do.
Told you, she's a gangster.
That's a real, right there. That's a 10 second clip.
Adulting.
Like, true adulting. But that's like, that's I don't even think that's adulting. That's true, like, fucking
self-belief
and life ownership. Like, wow. Not many people have the self-awareness to say that your own ability and your own self-belief is a safety net.
Yeah, and I think, yeah, definitely, that's the whole thing in the performing, from what I found. Obviously, I'm a fresh grad, so, like, I don't know the whole thing, but definitely what I found so far is that, I know that you've said this before, that if you wouldn't go to someone to ask for advice, don't take advice from mm-hmm. them. So if you get someone that said something to you and you're like, well, I wouldn't really ask you for that, then be like, thank you very much, I really appreciate that critique, and then say, but I'm still going to go with my thing and how I believe in myself. Yeah. Yeah, gut feeling is a massive thing. That's what I basically based this whole, like, getting my new agent from, is that I had a gut feeling, and I was speaking to you about it. I was like, I don't know what to do, I've got this feeling. We were saying maybe I give it a bit longer, but then we spoke and we said, if I'm feeling this now, if I give it a month, I'm still going to be feeling the same, and I've just wasted a month.
Yeah.
So then I was like, big move to make, and I felt really vulnerable, because I was like, I'd wanted an agent for so long before signing with my first one, that I was like, I've just done this and now I'm giving it up again. But it's all just piece of the puzzle, isn't it? And that didn't quite fit, so get a new piece and here we are.
But there's one thing piecing it together. It's hard to actually put the piece in, do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And to have the kahunas to do it.
I'm so proud of you.
Yeah, I was watching your face whilst you were explaining that one. I was like, that's a dad proud face, that is.
So proud of you. Because, like, you know, if you know me on any level, you know that I do what's best for me, not what's best for other people. Mm-hmm. And I speak to you about this all the time.
Yeah.
Like, I you have to put your desires and needs before other people's. And you did that. You didn't think, you know, you were conscious about how people might be affected by it, or if your agent might be offended.
Yeah, but that was a big thing for me, because I'd never had anything like this before. That was what I am, a people pleaser. Like, I don't like to upset anything, like disrupt anything, but I was like, I just need to do this for me.
Yeah.
And also, when I left, it was so amicable, and I realized after I'd done it, I was like, this is why it was a gut feeling, because everything was completely fine.
Yeah, I think when you know, you know.
You know.
Like when I was at Millennium, I got a full scholarship to Millennium Performing Arts. I left after 8 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and everyone was like, what are you doing? You're an idiot. And I was like,
you just know.
I just know.
You just know.
This isn't, you know what's me. Right for you.
Like, and everyone was like, well, what are you going to do? I was like, move to London, take class. Like, I mean, like, how do you know you're going to make it?
I just will.
Like, you no, just I know I knew. Yeah. No, it's not I don't, it's yeah. I will. I don't know how I will, but I will.
I did this thing as well that I do if I'm trying to make a big decision in my life, and it sounds like really like, but it's not. I close my eyes and I think about it. And you know that feeling you get in your stomach when you're nervous about something? If I get that feeling.
No, but yeah.
Do you not get that feeling?
No, never.
Do you get that feeling?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, great. I was going to say, maybe I'm just talking. But if I start to feel nervous about it, it's not for me. And if I feel a sense of relief, that's it. That's my answer. I don't need to ponder over it for 2 weeks. Close my eyes and whatever I feel, that's it.
So what kind of things have made you feel nervous?
Oh, lots of things. But like even...
in regards to that, because like, I don't know, like it's not, I don't really often feel very nervous. I feel excited about stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And if I don't feel excited about it, then I don't...
It's a similar thing.
I don't engage in it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So I don't really get that, oh, I'm nervous for this, as in like, I either have excitement, and if it's not exciting to me, then I'm like, eh. I can live without it.
Yeah, it's basically the same thing. But when I was talking to my new agent I've just signed with, I had to make quite a bold move and go up to her in person and say, can I email you for representation? And I was on the train and I was like, what do I do? What do I do? What do I do? And I was thinking about it and I was like, okay, just close your eyes and whatever you feels right, just do it, because whatever. I've just made a big move, so what's another big move?
But also, like... Okay, so let's carry this. Like, you seeked. You knocked on the door, right?
Yeah.
Like, the door wasn't open.
The door was kind of locked, and yeah, I got the key.
Yeah, you got the key. But, like, you put in the work to put yourself in a position where you felt confident and comfortable enough to ask.
Mm.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
that's what, already built an amazing relationship. Just have, like,
so,
the relationship I have with my agent now is amazing because... I made that move. Yeah, I've put time into it.
So this comes across to then to like the networking thing we always talk about.
Yeah.
People get misconstrued about what networking really means. And actually your networking with your agent was just showing up.
Yeah.
Regularly, being consistent,
yeah.
Working hard. You didn't
and
have
I
to,
had
you
to.
You didn't have to try
yeah.
and be your best friend. You
no.
didn't have to try and go for drinks. You just had to constantly be consistent.
And yeah, hard. In my specific situation, I was having to prove myself each week for 12 weeks. Every week I had to prove myself, And that also makes me now feel like so proud of myself, because I'm like, that person also believes in me now because I've proved myself.
That's so freaking dope, man.
Mm. Yeah. Lovely story.
It's so cool. And now it's just a matter of time, like, until the job comes, you mm-hmm. know? And then you'll go, I deserve this.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I worked it. And that's a dope feeling.
Yeah, I know I'll be able to feel that, which because, is nice.
Like, a lot of people go, like, I see it all the time, like, oh, that's lucky. Oh, you're so lucky you got to do that. I'm like, no.
I hate the word lucky.
You worked your yeah. ass off.
The like, word lucky.
Like, the last thing you are is lucky.
Yeah.
Like, as in, like, regards to, like, signing an agent or stuff like that. You've grafted and you grind for it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not luck.
Yeah.
Like, part of it obviously is. Like, everything is, like, a bit of luck. But lucky would be, like, you're just walking down the street and someone went, do you want to dance for this
yeah.
person?
It's completely
like,
random.
Out of nowhere. Yeah. That's lucky. Lucky isn't, like, consistently showing up and putting on a brave face every day and, like...
The harder you work, the luckier you get.
Yeah, facts.
Boom.
The harder
get
you work...
Get that on a t-shirt, guys.
The luckier you get, that is definitely a t-shirt. 100%.
Like, I don't believe in luck for a second. Like, again, I believe in, like, what you said. Like, someone points and you go, hey, sign my agency.
Well, you might be lucky to have, like, a specific friendship.
Yeah.
Like, do you know what I mean?
Like, but you have to work at that friendship.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's still an investment, but I feel lucky to have you guys in my life. Do you know what I mean? That feels lucky to me, but at the same time...
Is that gratitude rather than luck? Because you wouldn't be my friend or I wouldn't be your friend if we didn't have similar values.
We're friends.
We're best friends.
I feel like I'm getting in the middle of something here, guys.
But do you know what I mean? Like, we work at each other's friendships. When I'm upset about someone, you call me up. When you're upset about someone, I call you up.
Mm.
You know, if you need support and advice, I'll give you support and advice. Like, mm-hmm. it's a two-way thing and you work at that. So if I get a business... offer through you from someone else who's connected to you, I've had to work at our relationship. So at no point is it luck. I'm grateful, but it's not lucky.
Yeah, true. Do you think that you're the hardest person or the hardest working person in the room most of the time?
Yeah, and I don't think that there's anything wrong with that.
No,
I would
I'm
never, yeah, I don't, I would never.
Own it, motherfucker.
I'm not saying you're calling other people
yeah,
lazy.
Yeah, I'm not like walking around the room being like, you better work. But no, I'm like, I do feel like I work hard and I'm proud that I work hard.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like, yeah, I don't know how to explain it.
No, that's.
You feel like you deserve the stuff that's come to you.
Yeah.
That's dope.
Own it.
Own
put
it
on a hat.
Like, there's nothing wrong with owning that shit. Like, yeah. I used to think in LA. Like, I used to be like, I know most dancers now are asleep and I've been to the gym, I've done yoga and I've done a hike.
And that
like,
also,
by midday,
yeah.
I've done all my errands and then I was taking class and I know that everyone else was having to take class and then go and do their errands. Like, I knew I was a step ahead of most people.
Yeah, and that also does not mean I'm the best person in the room. I'm never the best person in the room. But it, like,
and
being
if you are the best
working,
in the room, you're in the wrong room.
Yeah, well, there you go. That's the thing. You should be with people. I always think that we were talking about this earlier, that to work and dance with people that are better than you pushes you to another level that you didn't even know.
Mm-hmm.
And not even consciously. It's not like I'm having to go, come on, Taz, work harder. But if you're in a room with people that are amazing, mm-hmm. you just naturally, don't you? You just elevate.
Yeah. Okay, so what do you, when you're choosing your training,
mm-hmm.
what is it that you look for? Like what makes you
in
go,
a teacher?
Well, just
or
in like
a class.
Your, in your, well, both in your training options. What makes you go, I should go and do that? Like, what makes you invest in
yeah.
it? So, like, with my program this month, I made them all write down at the beginning the reason of why they come to
that.
Me to train.
Yeah.
I've never done it before, but I was like, do you know what? Like, they need to know their why.
Yeah.
As opposed to just showing up for
know your
giggles.
Why. Yeah, yeah.
So, like, why are you here? Like, and then they, every week they have to, like, assess that if they put in the effort to work on their why.
Yeah.
Like, what's your why? Why do you choose these specific
It's definitely
things?
People for me, like places and people and teachers that resonate with me. Like, I have to feel... Lots of people talk about a safe space and building a safe space. And I, to a certain degree, yes. But also, I feel like you just have to... Like, you were talking about your friends because of your morals. Like, you know when you meet someone... if your morals are the same, and that doesn't have to be political, but just in terms of like work ethic, like the places that I train, the teachers, I respect so much.
Mm.
Like, but at the same time, I also love learning from new people, and not always will I go to a class that I find fulfilling that I'm like, I love that teacher.
Mm.
But it still helped me to grow as an artist, so therefore it's rewarding.
Mm.
Right?
Yeah. When do you know you're in the wrong classes?
Mm, good question.
If I'm feeling, I think it's an easy measure if I'm feeling really stressed. Like, I don't get stressed that much now because I've trained with teachers that classes are really hard. I don't often get stressed, so stressed that, like, it's affecting the way that I dance. But if I feel that, I know that, like, this isn't the right room for me, which does not mean it's not the right room for other people, but it's just not right for me right now.
So when you say stressed, do you mean, like, stressed as in, like, struggling with the steps, or do you mean, like, the environment that it's
no,
in?
No, the environment, yeah.
Like, the way the space is being held.
Yeah, and, like, I always find the filming in class thing really interesting. That, like, as soon as anyone, even if you've been in front of a camera so much, as soon as anyone brings a videographer into a class, everyone silent, focusing on steps, not focusing on themselves. They're focusing on, like, the external vision that everyone's going to see of them, rather than, I've still come to class to work on me, but now, all of a sudden, because there's a camera there, I'm like, oh my God, how many likes am I going to get on Instagram? Absolutely. Subconsciously.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
not always, like,
I'm going to shoot myself in the foot with this one, considering that I film classes. But I would never want a camera in a class that I take. Unless it's like...
A safe space.
Unless
safe
you've like actually actively worked towards it.
Yeah.
But that, if I'm in class, I want to learn. But I don't want to before... I'm not quote trying to
It depends what it's for,
Instagram.
Right? So like, you film class. Like for me. But like the intention is
But that's an intentional day.
Yeah. The intention
which I
is
love.
Set at the beginning of the program.
I love that because
it's
you feel your best.
And you're working
but
towards
it's,
that.
But it's not even, the point of it isn't for you to feel your best. The point of view is so you don't come in, well, no, I take that back. It is for you to feel your best. But the whole point of it is
that's not the sole reason.
To keep you accountable.
Mm.
To make sure you go away and practice so you don't come back looking like dog shit on camera.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's not about a video, and that's the thing that people get twisted.
And I think if you do film class, it should be like a warned thing.
I like that a lot of people now...
We're filming class today.
Yeah, I like that a lot of people now are putting on their Instagram stories like, class will be filmed. Mm. Because for some people, that's just not a safe space. If people are at the beginning of their training, they're going to pay £10 for that class to feel so stressed, that whole class. Mm. No one wants to pay £10
to
feel stressed.
I never really... Stuff like that never really bothered me, like when I was taking class. But I don't feel like when I was really, truly like in class... Class wasn't filmed to the extent it is now.
No. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It used to just be like there's a GoPro at the front of the class or the teacher films it on
Cute.
Their phone. Or like,
yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Whereas now it's like there's a fucking production.
Yeah.
Which is like our program to be fair. But
again,
like,
but that we're setting the intention
setting
for that.
The intention,
but
like,
you also, you don't know where that video is going to end up sometimes.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
for you guys, you tell all your people, you're like, we're filming it. You can post it. I'm going to post this one. Sometimes you can be in a class and you can feel a hot mess, like lost at 8 counts through, you're just stood there having the best time of your life, doing a boogie while everyone else is killing it. And then it ends up on Instagram story and you're like, love my life.
Like I took class, me and Jamie Bell took class together probably like 6 months ago. And like the girl who was videoing was like all up in my grill.
Right.
Super like, close to the face.
Like, way too close to me. And I was like I'm not going to lie. Like, I was really struggling, like, to learn the steps.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I just, you know, you just, like, I just couldn't get it. Like, I was, like, out of 10, I felt like a 3.
Yeah, just
like,
one of those
which
days.
Which is a very new feeling for me.
Yeah.
Like, I haven't felt like that in a long time. And I was really struggling. And so was Jamie. We were both like, what the hell is going on? And then I couldn't concentrate on learning or how I was doing it because she kept walking in front of me with the camera. And I was like... I literally was like, yo, I'm gonna have to tell her to fuck off.
Yeah.
Like, because it was so distracting. Because then all I cared about was, why is she filming me? Like, she's filming me go wrong. Why is she filming me go wrong? Do you know what I mean? By the time it got to groups and I was in a group, I knew what I was doing. But I think that's where like professional mode kicked in and like experience mode kicked in. And I was like, I'm gonna know it by the time we do it. Even though this was 10 minutes before, I was a hot mess.
Yeah.
But, you know, I just trusted my instincts and knew that I could get through it. But do I want anyone seeing that footage? No, because it was me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that might be someone, you know, of someone else, that me dancing that might have been like, I'd love to look like that.
Yeah.
But for me, that was a very piss poor version of King Silver.
Yeah.
I don't want anyone seeing that.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I got the steps right.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? But to me, it wasn't about getting the steps right. Even though I couldn't the whole class, I finally got them right, but actually the quality of my dancing wasn't great.
Because
I didn't have enough time to work on the dance.
Mm-hmm.
I was still just trying to figure out steps. But that camera for the whole class threw me.
Threw you off. Yeah, it would me as well.
First time I've ever felt that.
Yeah.
And I was like, yo, like, this must be so, like...
And some people feel like that every time a camera comes out.
But, like, without sounding like an absolute bellend, I think I'm going to sound like a bellend, imagine you're not as good as me. How shit that must
feel. This is what I'm saying. Like,
if you're not as good as me, that must feel horrendous.
If I was in your situation, like, I would have just crumbled. Because I'm not as good as you, obviously. But to have a camera
in my
face...
Don't put yourself down, Jake.
No, you're not.
I'm far from.
But you're really good.
Yeah, he's really good.
I appreciate that. But, like, that would have made me feel, like, insecure. And, like, it would have absolutely thrown me off my learning curve.
Yeah, I think that...
Not really insecure, but it would have... It's a distraction.
Yeah, and I don't even think it's the ability that... Like, my ability of, like, dance that made me okay with it. It was my... understanding of how to cope under pressure.
Knowledge,
you know what I mean? It's like I've been on TV with just learning a number, not knowing what I'm doing, and go through it. That kind of skill set kicked in, as opposed to me being good at picking up dancing, because obviously that skill set on that day wasn't working.
And I think that's a skill of a videographer as well, I'm sure, as Jake knows, of like, that's part of their job to make people feel comfortable.
Yeah, it's choosing when to come in, when not. So many moments.
Film everything. You can see when people are stressed.
I'll just nod back and there's a mutual understanding.
Because I did an intensive with Taylor Walker, and we had videographer there, Viggy.
We're all struggling with this word today.
Videographer there all week. And he was awesome. Like, he's also a dancer, the videographer.
Which helps.
Yeah, it does help.
That's why I say you're so good at it, because you understand both.
Yeah, but he was also doing like promo shots, but you just didn't know he was there. And it was such a safe space. Again, I keep using that word, but it's true that when you feel like you're in a safe space, you perform so much better.
Yeah.
And not all the time, obviously.
Sorry, I need to take this.
Ad break.
Yeah, just talking about how when videographers know how to judge a room, it makes you feel so much better. And also that's cool for experience then, because people that perhaps don't deal with, like, the people that take, I don't think the people that go to your program realize how lucky they are. Like, they get footage for days and they get experience in front of a camera.
Yeah.
Even if you weren't filming and they didn't get any footage, having the gimbal in front of them, that's a skill in itself. That is such an important...
Say it again.
Guys.
Because we've discussed this off air quite a few times, haven't we? Like... And you'd pay quite a lot of money for footage.
Are you joking? Like,
sometimes I think people don't, like, it's so affordable, it's a joke. We know that it's so affordable for people.
Yeah.
Like, because the amount of time and effort that goes into it, like, is redonkulous.
Yeah, and even if you don't use that footage, you've got footage to look back on to see your progress.
But the footage isn't to be used.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Like, they're more than welcome to use it.
Yeah, exactly.
But the footage is to use as a tool. As to measure yourself.
Imagine, like...
To assess your progress.
Yeah. Imagine, like, Connor, who's been doing your program from the beginning,
yeah.
has videos every single time. Imagine the madness. He's going to look back at his first week and look at now and be like, wow.
Yeah.
That is such a cool tool to have. Yeah. Not many people have that. Like,
he's paid for it. It's not free, but it's...
Well, it practically is free because paying for the training.
But it's part of the... It's part of what we've created as part of the training. But, like, you know, it's such it's such an asset.
Yeah.
Like, if you use it correctly, if you don't use it correctly, then it's not worth it for you.
Yeah, and I'm only just, like, I feel fine to say that I'm only just getting over the camera fear. Like, I definitely, from leaving college, Zoom, and then going from Zoom where I was just propping my phone up on my laptop, to then going back into a class where there was a big camera, it's scary. It was so scary for me. And I'm only just now feeling that it's when the camera comes out, it's not bothering me that much.
Here's a question for both of you. Performers even. Do you find you have a different... What are you laughing at? Fuck you. a different feeling towards live performances and camera performance? Reason being is because the camera is permanent.
I mean, I do. Massively.
Yeah.
Because for me, I prefer to perform live than I would do in front of a camera.
100%.
Yeah, 100%.
I hate doing... TV. Like, so TV stuff, like, I did a lot of TV, like, for my career. But, like, there was always an audience there. Mm-hmm. So you still felt like...
Yeah, you've still got that atmosphere.
Whereas, like, I hate music videos.
Right.
Dear.
Go on, elaborate.
I hate it. Because there's no feedback.
Right.
There's no feedback. You just have a director and like
your energy people. Is being sucked.
Yeah, you just have people. Like there's no like if I'm doing a good job live on stage, you're smiling or clapping or cheering.
Mm-hmm.
There's instant feedback. Mm. So that energy is bouncing back and forth between us, makes us both excel.
Yeah.
On a music video, it's like, again, stop, again. Like it feels so like monotonous. Yeah. And like no one's cheering you at the end of it. Like you just gotta, oh, they'll go, let's try that again, another take. You've yeah. just danced your fucking heart out for 2 minutes.
And they're like,
and they're like, okay, let's try another angle. You're like, and I'm not saying like you need a well done or a round of applause, but that's the difference when you're on stage in front of an audience. If you're doing a good job,
yeah.
you get that instant gratification.
I think, yeah.
feedback. You know if you're doing a good or bad job. Whereas on camera, just like me and you in a studio, there's no vibe. There's nothing for me to get energy from. I have to build it in myself,
mm-hmm.
which is a different skill. So we need to be able to do good at both. But like live performance for me is epic.
Yeah, and I also think live performance as well, something that you don't get off camera is that it's organic. Like you said, you can't do it again, no matter if you... I know it's dropped down. Like if you do the same performance twice on a stage, it's not the same. Even if you're doing exactly the same steps, which is so cool.
Because like, so we did a show this weekend.
We did.
And it's the first time I've performed in probably 2.5, same. 3 years.
Yeah, on a stage with an audience with lights.
Audience and lights. So we did the first day, which was Saturday.
Yeah.
And it come off and like, I don't know, I'll say how I felt. Yeah. And you can say how you felt. And I spoke to you about it the next day.
Yeah.
And I was like, I felt numb.
Yeah.
Like I had no emotion. I had no attachment to it. I had no feeling. I can't tell you how I felt in the moment. Where I was so, I'd not done it in such a long time that I was just like, it felt like a rehearsal.
Right.
It felt like a practice go. Like, it wasn't bad. We did a great job, I think. Like,
I hope we'll wait to see the footage on that.
They cheered. Like, do you know what I mean? So they liked it. But I left and I was like, okay.
Yeah.
And I was like, I was driving home after it and I was a bit like, I've lost the love. Like, I've lost that passion. I've lost that buzz that I used to get going on stage. Like, that's where I thrive.
Yeah.
Put a crowd in front of me, that's where I come to life. And I felt no feeling whatsoever. And then the next day we did it, I come off buzzing.
Yeah.
And what changed? Like,
I don't know. I just come
also,
off buzzing.
The audience were better on the second day. They were.
On the second day. But like, dude, I've performed to dead out audiences and still had a good time. But I come off the second day and I was like, oh, that was so good. I want to do it again.
Yeah.
So strange. But maybe it was just like the shock of not having done it in such a long time.
It was so nice.
I couldn't process it.
It was so nice to be back in front of an audience. But I have to say, I did feel nervous. Like when we were stood there, because we started facing the back, there was four of us on the stage. And I was not scared, but I was like, that adrenaline that I haven't felt in so long. I was like, oh my God, what is this feeling? And then as soon as the music came on, I was like, we're chilling. It's fine.
It's so
but
funny. I didn't get
did
any
you not?
Nothing.
Was that because of the tier of stage that you were performing on?
Maybe, could be. Maybe. But like, I've never like...
I'm not saying it's a bad tier, but compared...
I've never been a stage snob.
No. Right.
Like, I get nervous...
It was still like...
I get nervous showcasing a combo in front of class.
Yeah.
Not nervous. Nervous isn't the right word. I get like, okay, let's go.
Adrenaline,
like,
yeah.
I've got to hype myself up and be like, oh, I'm going to do this.
But it's worse performing in front of dancers than muggles, though, right?
Yeah, true.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, whereas I just performing in front of like 10-year-olds' mums.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was very odd. Yeah, so I've never been like a stage snob, but I love performing in front of anyone. Like I get nervous performing in front of, not nervous, but I have to like amp myself up when I'm gonna like do like a showcase in class or like something like that. The time I become the most nervous out of anything, or like the one that I'm always a bit like, you have to do a good job, is a judges showcase.
Yeah, what? Competition. Yeah.
More really? Than a show.
All the kids are like.
More than a show, more than a TV, more than anything, because I feel like when I'm doing it for telly,
when I'm on telly,
they're not actually there to watch me. They're watching a show or they're watching an artist.
Yeah.
When I'm doing a class, I've taught them what I'm doing, so they know how hard this shit is.
Yeah.
So the comparison is they see themselves do it and then they see me do it.
Yeah.
When it's a judge's showcase, it's everyone who loves dance and you're the person who's dictating whether they're good or bad.
Yeah. Okay.
And then you have to.
And then they get the chance to judge you.
The roles are reversed.
Yeah.
You're like,
I hate it.
Because I have been to a few competitions where I look at the judge and I think, should you be there?
I'm sure people have thought that about me.
No.
No, 100%.
I remember watching you before I knew you. I went, yo, you're dope.
Yeah, but I don't think everyone feels that way. Like, if you don't like how I dance, like, if you're like, I like doing hip hop freestyle, or I like popping. Mm. I love doing popping battles. You're not going to watch me come out and dance.
Yeah, but I'm not a popper. But when I watch people do popping, I'm like,
yeah, but that's, don't you think that's because we know how hard it is?
Yeah, but.
And we like other things.
Yeah,
like,
true.
Not everyone likes doing choreo. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, true.
Fair play.
You go.
I had a question and I've forgotten it, so you go. Okay.
How do you measure your progress?
How do I measure my progress? Do you say progress?
Yeah, progress. I'm Welsh.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. I find that a really hard thing to measure. I mean, I always try and, even in any class, find one thing that I've improved on. Whether that be that at the end of the class, I've been able to put performance on the end of the class, or whether that's even that, like, I just feel more confident in myself in this class. There always has to be one thing that I've improved on, even if it's teeny tiny, to show progress. Because I think, especially in now when everyone's getting filmed all the time and you watch yourself so much, you don't see it as much. It's like when you've like got family that's like a toddler, and then you're just with them all the time and you see them grow up, and then someone who hasn't seen them is like, whoa, they've grown so much. And you're like, really? That's the same as when you're watching yourself dancing, and we're dancing in front of mirrors. You're watching yourself constantly. So then when I've seen people that I haven't seen in ages, they're like, oh my God, you've improved so much. And I'm like, oh, I actually have, but I've just been seeing those teeny tiny bits of improvement, that one improvement per class, that it seems so natural. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah, I tell you, I can empathise with that massively.
Like, because I think if you try and set yourself a fat goal each class that you have to, like, get picked out in the select group, be front and centre, it's never going to happen every class. Do you know? And then you feel, you come out of a class being like, oh. Whereas if you just find one thing that you've improved on, you're like, oh, great.
Do you walk into a class with a goal in mind, ever? So you take away a positive, but do you also walk in going, this was a negative last time? Or not a negative, depends, but this is a working point.
This is something I struggled with before.
Yeah. Depends what class it is. Like, I know you talk about John and that a lot, but I go to John and Marco's class quite often. And that class for me, because it's the best class.
It is the best class.
So good. Like, for training all round, even if you don't want to do hip-hop commercial, like, it's just amazing training. Anyway, back to it. I always go into that class and I'm like, okay, last week I might have struggled on this weight transfer that John's done, so this week I'm going to really focus when John's teaching his part of choreo, so that I know that I've got it down, so that I can then focus on the next part. So I like to setting myself little goals, but perhaps more when I'm in a regular class as opposed to when I'm going into a dropping class, because it's kind of hard to measure your progress on a one-off as it is when you're seeing yourself doing the same people's choreo, because even if it's a different combo, we all know that if you're choreographing yourself, it's similar, you use the similar stuff.
Yeah.
So you can measure that progress on much more, like, I don't know how to say
You just kind of go, oh, I find this much more achievable this time.
Yeah, exactly.
If, you know, the level of the class is the same.
Yeah, exactly.
The intention of the class, you know, they still have the same inspirations and stuff, for sure. How do you feel, because you're 20, would that make you a millennial?
No, 2001. Oh, wait.
Or are you a Gen X? I don't know.
I don't get these things. What, Gen Z? What? I don't know.
You're a dinosaur.
Yeah, that works too.
A modern day dinosaur.
Yeah, 2001 baby.
So you're in that, sorry, you're in that, like, you're that age.
Millennial then, I think. No.
No, millennials before the
millennium. Millennials before the millennium.
Wait, we're Gen.
No, I'm
You're old. No, joking.
What are you? 85 to 95.
No, you cheat. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
90. Yeah, so we're... Oh, come on. I'm
31, coming up to 32. I look great.
Yeah.
I look rough as shit. how do you cope with the constant pressure from your... Even though it's not forced pressure, but the pressure from your peers and the people the same age with you and the same intentions on staying popular or posting on Instagram regularly, because like it is the current trend to like get as many likes as you can, or as many likes or as many followers, and post a new video. How do you deal with that? Do you feel pressured into following suit and making sure you're the same, or do you have like any things that help you make that go, that's not relevant to me?
Okay, this is gonna sound kind of deep, but I used to really feel the pressure and try and get as many. I'd be like, it's 8 o'clock, let me post now because I'm going to get the most people looking at my video. Now, let's be honest, the only person that you're born with and die with is yourself. Let's be honest. So I post now and I'm like, I like this video, I'm going to post it. If it gets 2 views, I still like the video. I don't care whether it gets 2 views or 2,000 views. Obviously, it's nice if you get like your friends being like, this looks really good, yeah, and you've improved. It's nice, but I really don't base everything off that anymore. Mm. And I will say that I did. Like, not that I posted 4 likes, but I was really... Oh,
sorry. I was trying to cough away from the mic.
But, yeah, I really wanted... I thought that it was validation. I don't know why. I think it's just a thing now that numbers mean so much to people, but yeah, definitely more recently, like, I've turned my notifications off for all social medias, so like I don't get a notification until I go onto the app, which is really helpful, because when you post a video, everyone knows that feeling if you've got notifications where you post a video and you just wait for them all to like pop up.
You're subconsciously looking at your phone.
Yeah, and you're like, oh my god, I'm so popular. But I don't get that now, so I'll click back onto the thing.
When did you do that?
When did I do that? Just before, I think it was like November last year. Mm. So
I've done that now for probably like 2-3. No, not that long. I've had notifications turned off on my phone for like 3 years.
Yeah.
Jake's done it for like 5 months.
Life changing, right?
Yeah.
He didn't know about it. He was like, yo, my phone don't stop going. Like all these fucking dance videos, I'm turning notifications off.
Yeah.
It's like, what? Like,
yeah. I was getting 600 notifications a day.
And how anxious was it making you? Like,
oh, I hated it.
Especially because you're kind of...
Not and it made me feel fake busy.
Not that you're not used to it. Fake busy.
Yeah.
Go on.
So it's like... It's where you constantly fill your time up, but you're not being productive.
Yeah.
And it's just looking at people's reactions. Wasting time looking at people's reactions.
Yeah. You go, this is work. And I'm not saying this is like strictly for social media, but like you might be at work, but you're not working. You're running at 40% capacity rather than like 80 to 100. Which is 99% of the population out there, but whatever. But yeah, so having notification on create like a fake busy for me, because I was like, oh yeah, this is like work related. No, it wasn't producing any results in my life.
Yeah, definitely. I think that is definitely a game changer. And even to try it, it might not work for everyone. People might like that, but I've definitely noticed that since having it, I feel so much, I don't feel as involved. Like I'm not part of that. You know, the TikTok, like swiping into like the depths of Facebook when you get on those weird videos that like you've been swiping for like 2 hours and you're like, why am I watching this?
Yeah, why am I watching camels?
Literally. And you're like,
someone's dancing and I'm watching a camel.
Yeah, and I feel like when you take yourself away from that, you then notice so much more about how good it feels when you can look at it.
Yeah. Another thing I did was turn
itchy
off.
Itchy nose.
As I said, I have. I was like, I also... what's helped me is I've turned off my ability to see other people's likes.
Do you know, this is something that I haven't done yet, but I think is really interesting that Instagram has decided to do it.
Well, they did it because they were going to remove the like thing altogether. Yeah. Right? And then they were like, oh, if you don't do that, you're not going to get people to come back.
Yeah.
Because that's the clutch. That's what gets people in.
Maybe I should do that because I don't care.
No, but it's so good. Like, it genuinely helped me so much.
But do you like my Instagram post? I'm joking.
Well, I like it. Yeah, please go and support me. But also, like, if you don't like it...
Yeah.
I do. Like, the only thing we look at numbers for now is, like, engagement for the podcast.
Yeah,
like,
which is great.
In, like, for, like, reels and stuff. And we're like... But only because we want it to reach... We're trying to get stuff to reach a wider audience.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, on my personal page, like, if I post something personal about me, I'm not... doing it to reach an audience. I'm doing it to share, just to share. And if people like it, they like it.
So this is a never-ending conversation, I'm sure. But why, like, for example, I never post to my personal Instagram, really, because I don't have anything that I want to share. Like, there's so much of my life that I value, but I don't actually feel that other people would be interested or value. From a business perspective, it's different because you're trying to get people to buy into you. So what is a deciding factor of whether or not you post something? And what is it that,
a deciding factor, obviously, first of all, I have to like the photo, but I think there's been a bit of a trend, I don't know if I'd call it a trend recently, of, I think you've spoken about this before, of creating like a business profile, but as dancers. So they'll have like their personal Instagram and I definitely see the reason behind that, but I don't personally feel the need to do that, because if you're selling yourself as a business, you're selling yourself, which is the main thing. So if I want to post a picture of me like with my family, that's still part of me as a business. That shows I'm a family
person.
Exactly. They get to see a bit, they're not seeing like, I don't know, headshot, quote headshot, which, don't get me wrong, looks amazing. And I love looking at people's Instagrams that are like that. But then at the same time, perhaps because I know that not everything comes off social media, but if someone is looking through your social media, they don't see what kind of a person that you are. They see you through the edited photos from your headshots. Mm. Do you know what I mean? I think
we kind of said that before. Like, yeah. I said, like, that might be the difference between if I was looking to hire one of you two as like my assistant,
mm-hmm.
and like you both had like, let's say Taz, you had just like headshot, quote headshot.
Yeah.
And Jake had headshot, quote
holiday picture yeah, yeah.
of his dog. And I like dogs. That yeah. could be the one thing that changes the game, and go, oh, we have something in common.
Yeah. But at the end of the day, I think the main thing with that is that you have to like it. Like, if you don't enjoy your own content, then who are you making it
but
for?
But also, like, if you feel like you can't, if I put something out and I'm like, I don't want, you're my employer.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're the person that's going to hire me and you're my friend. If I'm putting something out that I don't want you seeing.
Yeah.
Then just don't put it out.
Yeah. Then don't put it out.
Then don't put it out. But what's to say then you should want him seeing it? But if I put something out and I want him to see it, like as in something like a funny video,
mm-hmm.
but as long as it's not like going to get you cancelled or some shit.
Yeah.
Like, why can't you see that funny thing that I find funny, or it's about me being funny? Because that could be a credit to you.
So is everything you post business related?
Me, personally.
And I'm not saying like as in like it's selling a product, as in the back of your mind, you're putting it forward so you're more hireable.
No.
Or is there ego being stroked? Is there like a deeper level?
Personally, not for me, because I personally think that you should be able to post what you want to a certain extent. Like, I don't see the need for me, because I carry don't...
Off. I'm going to get Nina.
Okay. Should I carry on talking or no? Okay.
Tell me. Don't worry about Jake.
I don't see the point in doing it for someone else's validation.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And I like the fact that I love all my content and I've got pictures with my family and that I can look like, it might sound morbid, but if you weren't here tomorrow, someone can look through your Instagram and be like, that's them.
Yeah, I like that actually. That was the worst high five ever.
Oh yeah.
Jake's gonna think that's a clap take. No, but that's so true actually.
Just hide my phone.
Like, it's like, what are you leaving behind? And that again, that sounds so
deep. It sounds really deep.
And like, it's so cringy that we think that we have to do that via social media.
Yeah.
But like...
But that is a thing. Like, but like it's a part of our lives.
Think like when like, let's use like, I don't know, Elvis Presley dies.
Yeah.
Like when he's died, like we look up old footage, like we try and find old footage of that person that has died.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? She just made a really good point. She was like, go on. Like, so the stuff she posts...
Oh, yeah. So the stuff that I post, like, if it sounds morbid, that if I was to die tomorrow, people would look at my feed and be like, yeah, that's Taz.
That's her. Come in.
Nina Benina Brown.
Oh, come hi. Jump in the edge of the short or whatever. So this is something I was thinking about the other day, actually, fun enough. I thought if I did die, there's hundreds of hours of me talking on social media now, on podcasts, yeah. which is quite nice for my people that love me around me.
Who, like, like, I want to listen to Jake talk for the day. Like I said, like, when Elvis Presley died, like, now we bring up old footage of him performing, or we find old photos of him playing with his dog, or like walking down the street, and we look at that and go, oh, do you remember Elvis?
Yeah.
Like, now we have loads of that.
Yeah.
It's not going to be hard to find now, so that's kind of cool.
Yeah, and also I archive my posts. I don't delete them.
I archive as well.
So that you can...
I don't have to do that.
So that you can still look through... So it still keeps, basically, on your Instagram, so you can still look at them. They're not gone forever.
Oh, and there'd be just an off button.
I delete mine.
But I only started doing that because I like to see like the group. Like, there's a picture of me and my prom. But I don't want that on my main Instagram, but I still want it to be there because it's a memory.
You like looking at it. That's kind of like one of my Facebook pages.
Yeah.
My Facebook, man. Oh my God.
Like, honestly.
That's what the Lewis Capaldi Facebook
is. Nina knows the depth of my Facebook. It's bad, isn't it?
If you go to my Facebook, that could get me cancelled.
Yeah, 100%, man. Like,
my Facebook.
Back to 2009, that's the world photos is still of me. Different.
Oh, yeah.
My Facebook is basically for my mum's friends. I post all the stuff I post on my Instagram, but then my mum's friends are like, oh my goodness, that's so great.
But so I've had Facebook since I was 11. No. 12, 13.
Yeah.
Cause
and I'm now 26. So I've got like 13, 14 years worth of.
No, I need to go through mine. Same. Like, I need to go through mine and delete a lot of stuff.
Don't delete
it. No, because it's so funny.
The memories.
But what you've got to think is like my mum shows me baby photos of me and she has to get out all these books Like, all these chairs, there's faff. Loads of photos in it, and we sit in there looking like that. We ain't got no printed photos of us.
No.
Yeah, that's true.
What Facebook's for.
Yeah, until that's Facebook true.
Collapses. Like, yeah, until Facebook collapses, it'll end up in a metaverse somewhere, and people are going to buy pictures of us without us even knowing. But, because we've already sold the pictures to Facebook.
NFT-ing. Online,
we have. We've already given up the rights to those photos because they're online. But, like, that's what Facebook is. Like, I went through there the other day trying to find an old photo of me and Kyle. And I was like, where's a photo of me and Kyle? They're probably on my phone, but do you know where I know they are?
They're Facebook. Definitely on Facebook.
They're definitely on Facebook. And the most gangster thing about Facebook is if I go on Kyle's page, I'll say, see friendship.
Yeah.
And they'll show me all the photos of just me and him.
That's so
but
good.
But it's not used now. Like, do you post on Facebook now?
I just share my posts on Instagram.
Yeah, sometimes I do that.
But otherwise, the only thing I do on Facebook is I advertise teaching and I sell trainers.
Because all the...
trainers.
Always. Yeah.
Nice one.
Where do you see yourself in 10 years' time if everything goes perfectly to plan? 10 years, 30. Ooh, go on.
30? Yeah, like, wouldn't that be old? No, jokes.
The disrespect.
The disrespect, it's all right.
We roast you later.
In 10 years' time, I want to have been in, I'd have to list all my dream jobs, right?
No, but just like in an ideal world. I mean, you can if you want to put it out there.
I want to be have done the majority of performing. I still want to do performing, but I really want to do like assisting choreography, dance captain, like work my way up,
which you would be very, very good at. That
that would be my ideal, like to work with the people that I've been inspired by for so long. And then and then to
aim higher.
Jeez!
Listeners don't get that, but I thought she meant me.
I do.
Oh, that's nice.
I do. I've got a list in my notebook. I've got a little notebook that's got all my plans. But yeah, to assist them and then hopefully step into their shoes one day.
That's... Okay, let's add on to that question. What character do you need to become? Not as in like stage character, as a person. What characteristics do you need to have in order to achieve that 10-year vision?
If it's with me, you've got to be funny and on time.
do I achieve that?
Yeah.
Okay, great. But I think that we were talking about this, being a yes person to a certain extent, to not let any opportunity pass you by, but also not be walked over.
Yeah, don't be a sellout.
Yeah. So
if you don't believe in it.
Yeah, exactly. So you've got to do stuff to a certain extent that's going to open doors for you, but don't be fake, because that's not going to get you anywhere, because people are going to see through that.
And it can only last for so long.
Exactly.
You can only uphold bullshit for a certain amount of time.
Yeah. I mean, I can't do it for very long at all. So I really can't live my life by that. Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah.
And that's a positive and a negative. But I always think like the people that fuck with me and the people that ride with me actually really like me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that means more
that's quite cool
people
to know.
Who are just with me to be with me.
Because of your status or whatever.
Well, I don't really have a status. Like, but,
no, but you can create opportunity.
You know what I mean? Like,
don't put yourself down, those 17K Instagram followers. Let's go.
17. Do you know what's mad is when I was in LA, I remember seeing this fitness guy, Jason Ellis, I think his name was. And I remember him, he had 10,000 followers. And I was like, he's famous. I was like, he's famous. 10,000 followers. I remember when I got to 10,000 followers, I was like, yeah, I can do a swipe up.
Oh my God, yeah.
Isn't it much? And now I actually couldn't give a fuck.
No.
I know.
Well, it's like what we were saying. We were jumping for joy that we had 100 subscribers on YouTube.
Yeah.
And then I said in like a few years' time, we're going to be looking back laughing at this.
I hope.
We're going to have 107 in a few years' time.
Right. Back in a few years' time and go, well, what a waste of time.
Never. But yeah, I think, and also... just to, oh, for God's sake, you two. Just to.
No, it's just funny because we put so much time, money, and effort into this thing.
So much.
And we've got like 100 subscribers.
It's gonna. But I don't think many people subscribe. Like, people just watch it.
Yeah.
No, we don't get many watchers either on YouTube. I do.
I'm a subscriber.
Thanks. Yeah, most of our subscribers are friends and family.
Our audience is list like, it's like 99% listener base.
Mm.
Oh, that's cool to know, though.
I think I'm giving us too much credit. Probably 90, 80%.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, but that's basically to work with the people that I want to work with. I just have like, I just need to work hard. That's basically I've just got to carry on doing what I'm doing.
Something that I've really taken away from you is that you don't shoot in the dark. Like you aim and then you fire.
Yeah.
What does shoot in the dark mean?
Just like
you're just spraying and praying, hoping that you'll hit target. Yeah.
Okay.
Like
just throwing shit out.
Like an opportunity. You're not just going to random classes. You're not just like.
It's calculated.
It's calculated. Very calculated. Which
that
is
makes
why
sound like
you're
an evil genius.
No, but it's not because like something that like again I'm gonna put my business head on. People
just evil.
Remember what I was saying about fake busy?
Yeah.
Fake busy is because most people don't aim.
Yeah.
They just go. And then they just hope that something hits. Mm. But you aim and then you shoot.
Yeah, that's cool. I've never thought of it like that. Thanks, Jake.
That's right. That's what I've taken away from you anyway. Mm. And again, it's something that I'm really trying. The reason I see it, I think, in you is because it's something that I'm trying to adopt. Because
mm-hmm.
I'm normally like, fuck it, let's just do like 10 different things and hope for the best.
We both have that trait.
Yeah.
Like we both do. And then we both have to kind of reel each other in and go. And normally if it's my idea, Jake will bring me back down to earth. And if it's Jake's, I'll bring him.
Yeah.
And it's not even like back down to earth as in it's unachievable, but we're like less... just conquer the one
the thing that's in front because
yeah,
I'll be like oh yeah the internet is gonna be this in 5 years time
yeah
and then Kane's like let's just get past 100 subscribers
yeah. Like Jake sometimes vision is like that's why we're partners because like his vision like his is there's not a ceiling like this
I love
limited.
That
like everything is so like we can achieve whatever we want as
yes,
long as
Jake.
We both put in the work.
But I often forget about the step in front of me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I try and have no limit, but also I do try and think I need to have the step in front of me before
like
I need to walk before I can run.
It's like, plug, I'm doing an Easter intensive on the 11th and 12th of April in Swindon.
Ooh, you heard it here first, guys.
Six teachers for £100, message me to book on. Ooh. Like, I said I want to do the Easter one, and Jake's like, we can sell jumpers, t-shirts, videos. He's like, I'll start printing them tomorrow. I was like, although we haven't even got a logo to put on. He's like, yeah, I brought the materials.
And I actually have bought all the materials.
I love it.
And then he'd be like, and then on the Easter, on the summer one, and then a Christmas one, I'm like, bro.
That's why you work so well together, though.
Yeah.
100%.
And I do it the other way around. Like, I'm like, you need to be like videoing films. And he's like, just bought a camera. I'm like, you can do it.
As if we're each other's hype, then.
Yeah.
I mean, kind of to put this into a bit of an analogy or whatever, I was thinking about this whilst driving yesterday, is if you aim for a 10-mile shot, you'll probably miss. But if you just hit lots of 10-yard shots, you'll be able to hit me forward.
Until you reach 10
miles. Until you reach the 10-mile shot. Because,
yeah.
Like, again, I'm always 10 miles and I'm never 10 yards.
Like
so that's
race.
Like a skill
yeah.
that I'm trying to learn, which is something that you have already adopted.
Yeah, which is huge.
Mm-hmm. Huge.
Huge. And you're like so brave. Like, you believe in yourself. And like, to me, that is the key to this industry.
But I also think that like, obviously I've said the stuff that I believe in myself, but of course there's self-doubt sometimes.
Of course there is, but you have to overcome
it. Makes you human.
It.
Yeah. But I do, I always try and glass half full instead of glass half empty. That's
yeah.
right
yeah.
yeah, that's kind of how I like to live my life.
Right
yeah. But
sweet.
And on that
we
note,
just did that.
I love you.
Love you too.
Proud of you.
Proud of you too.
Proud of the person you become in 10 years time when she's like huge choreographer or some shit. You're all gonna go googling her and this is gonna come up.
Mm-hmm.
And you're gonna go look how young and pretty she is and courageous and
he actually, you should equals me Lewis Capaldi, so I'm just gonna take that. Thanks.
Oh, I wasn't gonna do that on here, but I can. So I call Taz Lewis Capaldi.
They're not gonna be able to unsee it now.
No.
I don't see it still, so you're alright.
No.
Thank you, Nina.
The thumbnail of the picture.
No,
oh
you
my
do,
god,
I'll
you
cry.
Actually should.
No, please don't.
And on this week we have Lewis Capaldi.
Everyone would that'd be clickbait. Everyone would watch that and they'd be
absolutely.
Like,
actually
would be
then it'd be me. They'd be like, oh.
Yeah.
Oh well.
Or they'll just be like, I'm in
anyway, might as well watch it.
Well, guys, it's been a very interesting episode.
It
sorry
has.
For so many chops and changes if you noticed it in post-production.
That's
probably
gonna be...
won't, except for the fact that Jake has changed costumes. some life-changing things going on behind the scenes.
Some pretty cool
we'll
things.
We'll probably find out.
Hopefully
in
next
episode. Nah, not next. A few months' time. I'm not having a baby, don't worry.
Kane's pregnant.
That's what it sounded like. A few months' time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it did sound like that. Mm. It's not that. Thank you for coming on.
Thanks for having me, guys. I've had such a fun
time. Absolute pleasure.
We'll have
anytime.
A tutorial releasing on the YouTube page, as promised, because we reached 100 subscribers. Probably this week or next week, depending on how much free time Jake has. And he's
not
like
much at the moment.
Fake busy. Fake busy.
He's too busy being fake busy.
Ooh.
Wow.
I'm a lyrical genius, guys.
We didn't get a rap from you today, Kane.
Oh. Okay.
Buzz.
We got Taz in the building. That's what's up. Nina is here, she don't give a fuck. We got Jake and Kane, and Jake's had a haircut. Oh my god, I fucked it up.
Look at Jake's fresh haircut as well, guys, by the way. If you're watching YouTube,
look how good he looks.
Free content.
Like, if you want to see him go from a 2 to a 5, come and tune in and watch.
5 out of 5.
5 out of 5, guys.
Thanks for listening. Please subscribe.
Bye, guys.
You haven't not bullied me in an episode.
Shut up.
For like a good month.
Can you put your hand over the camera to finish it off like they do in the YouTube videos?
I could just fade it out. Oh. Go on, just go like that and it will fade with you. Ready? 3, 2, 1.
Wait, I'm finished my plug. Bring it back. Follow us on Instagram. I'm at Mr. Bull Change. This is at Gibson_media_aka Camera Ninja.
Yeah, he's been persuading me for weeks now.
Follow Taz at
TazRain_.
Taz Rain.
Like with
Rain.
An E, RAINE.
I was like,
that's my middle name.
Oh.
Cute, right?
Yeah. And follow Nina Benina Brown. She doesn't know her Instagram handle, though. We figured that out last time, I don't think. What's yours? At Insta.
At Insta.
@NinaHayward_.
Yeah.
Love that.
Peace out, yo.
Bye.
Go on, fade it. Fade it. Message. She's got the power.
I've got the power.
Ins and Outs Easter Intensive coming soon. Follow me on Instagram for more information. Go.